Good morning, everyone. Beginning now with Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, John. Good morning.
So it seems like the headline this morning is, if you don't have a paper trail, and a week ago we were just hearing about Elena Kagan being the nominee from Barack Obama to replace Justice John Paul Stevens. If you don't have a paper trail, you create a paper trail. And Kagan is just starting her pre-confirmation rituals. So how do you create a paper trail?
Well, the judiciary helps you create one, and they're going to probably get a big chunk of that paper trail by later on today. Pat Leahy, who's chairman, said on the Sunday shows that Elena Kagan's questionnaire should come back to the committee today. Now, the questionnaire is an interesting little piece of sort of political forensics that go on Capitol Hill.
And it's literally a questionnaire. It's like, thank you for applying for the Supreme Court. Here are some questions.
Don't they already know what they need to know, Todd?
Well, some of the things they do and some of the things they don't, Lynn. For instance, some of the things they probably know. It asks for your full name, your address, your phone number, everything from that. And then as you drill down into the questionnaire, it gets unbelievably detailed. And I guess it should for a job like this. But for instance, please provide 4 copies and transcripts of all speeches, talks, remarks, lectures, panels, conferences, symposia, panel questions that you've ever done.
List for a public figure, that's impossible.
Well, and it's what it asks for. It's amazing. Yeah.
Do they give her the staff to actually do that? And we'll give you like 20,000 interns to help you with that project.
And 12 photocopying machines.
Yeah, a small army of White House interns at this point, because the White House supports this nominee.
I see.
I would imagine she would have to go back to the support staff at Harvard. And interestingly, you have to go back to the support staff now at the Clinton Library, because don't forget, Elena Kagan did a six or seven year turn in the office of the White House Counsel in the 90s. And the committee wants to see tens of thousands of pages of her writings and advice to the Clinton administration.
And they still have them there at the Clinton Library? They didn't shred them or anything?
Well, under federal law, they're supposed to keep them. Right. That stuff, I think, has a 50-year shelf life. I'm not sure of that number. Even press interviews, John, all give transcripts and clips of all newspaper, magazine, other publications, radio, television interviews, providing the dates of these interviews, 4 copies if you have them, it asks for. So
this is
any
from,
interview she's ever given.
Todd, this is from the Senate Judiciary Committee or from the White House?
From the Senate Judiciary Committee. This is the standard questionnaire. And
Hold on one second, Todd.
Yeah.
So the questionnaire is from the Judiciary Committee, but is it like a subpoena to the Clinton Library to provide these other documents? Are they being distributed in some huge binder to all the members of the Judiciary Committee, or is this something the White House is doing that's its own vetting?
No, this comes from the Judiciary Committee, and it would be distributed to all of the senators on the committee. Now, not quite to the level of a subpoena yet. You wouldn't get there unless the White House, a current or former White House, refused to provide certain information. And there have been questions asked, by the way, about what level of detail of presidential advice the committee, presumably Republicans on the committee, would request from when she was White House counsel, and trying to plumb the depths of whether or not we would ever get to a executive privilege type of claim. Now, we're not there.
And if you'd like to apply for the Supreme Court, which is actually not an option for you, the questionnaire will be posted on our website shortly. Todd is getting that to us, and we'll have it at thetakeaway.org. Finally, you reported on this program several weeks back that Blanche Lincoln, the Democratic senator from Arkansas, from the Agricultural Committee, was the person who came up with the regulatory scheme for dealing with financial derivatives. It was clever. It was aggressive. It was part of the whole financial regulatory bill that's now making its way through Congress. That's an issue suddenly in her primary campaign.
It's a big issue in her primary campaign, and she's fighting for her life in that primary tomorrow. I think we're going to be talking about that. But, John, there was an interesting little piece of reporting from TalkingPointsMemo.com that I want to bring to your attention quickly.
Do it.
A lot of people don't like what Blanche Lincoln has in that derivative section, particularly forcing banks to spin off the derivatives desk from their traditional banking. You got to separate it so that they're not exposed to each other. It looks like that section's going to be significantly weakened, but they've decided not to do anything on it until after Tuesday. They don't want to embarrass Blanche Lincoln by eviscerating her derivative section, so they'll wait until after her primary to deal with that section.
All right.
That was decided late last week.
The agenda on Capitol Hill and the agenda out in Arkansas. Strange sort of dovetailing of events there. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
It is playoff time. You folks thought it was baseball season. In fact, there's a bunch of other sports going on. Conference finals underway for both the NBA and the NHL, and both leagues down to four teams who are fighting it out for a slot in the finals. Takeaway sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is here. Hi, Ibrahim.
Good morning.
I get confused. Confused is the wrong word. I'd rather be watching baseball, but this stuff is important. Start with the NHL. What do we got now?
So the exciting thing in the NHL is, let's start with the Western Conference, where you have the San Jose Sharks versus the Chicago Blackhawks. That last night, the Chicago beat them 2-1 in San Jose, which was voted by the NHL players as the most intimidating place to play. And these two teams are...
Why is it so intimidating?
Because the fans are so intense.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. And they're wearing these shark outfits, too. It's like scary.
So used to be the Islanders, right?
Well, the Islanders are a tough place to play also. But this is the thing. This is a 1-2. The San Jose is the number one seed. The Blackhawks are the number two seed. These are the two best teams in the Western Conference, and they've been that way for a long time. The flip side,
In the Eastern Conference, it's completely different.
Right. Where you have the bottom two seeds, the teams that came in because they won games at the end of the season to get into the playoffs. The Rangers could have been here, but the Flyers beat them in a playoff, in a shootout, in the end of the season. And the Flyers have gone on. Philadelphia Flyers have gone on to have an unbelievable run. And last night they beat the Montreal Canadiens 6-0. They smashed them in that game. So the NHL's playoff right now is an unbelievable,
Stanley Cup. Exactly. Big news in the Stanley Cup. Basketball. The Celtics did it last night.
What is going on there?
They won 92-88.
Amazing.
And you were saying one of the themes in the beginning of the year was the youth versus age.
Right.
And the Celtics kind of have a balance of both. And the Magic actually are a team that is poised to win, but they need to find their old form that they had in the beginning of the playoffs.
Need to find some magic there. Exactly. In the NBA playoffs. Thanks, Ibrahim.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor.